Blog Talk Radio.
Should have been gone. That is Steve Perry. Steve Perry with some O'Sherry. Not Journey. Not Journey, Producer Caesar. Producer Caesar wanted to hear that, and I'm like, okay. And then he sends me a link. I get a new link. That is not a Journey song.
No.
That is Stevie Pears on his own. But pretty good.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, Matthew Aaron on the Facebook. I am here. Adam's doing sound. Alex is pointing fingers and doing nothing as usual.
Lee Capreas, hello.
Lee Capreas and...
Steve Wyrakaya.
Oh, stump the Steve.
Hi, everybody.
Stump 2 days in a row.
Oh, wow, really?
The game's now called Please Don't Stump Me, Steve.
Yeah, well, you know, it goes back to my childhood. They all called me Stumpy as a kid.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah,
then.
You know. And was it because of contests in which you tried to outguess
best people on
no,
TV theme.
No, it was because in grade school they'd give me the participation award for doing a mile in 20 minutes.
Oh, well, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's not demeaning at all.
No, not at all.
Oh,
true story.
He's calling you a parakeet.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Listen, Luisi.
We have Nora Dunn on the show today.
I know. Former SNL cast member.
Kind of in that comedy legend category.
Yeah.
Isn't she
was on in the golden age of SNL. The second golden age.
Yeah. I was going to say, when Lauren came back, golden age.
Right.
Not the Dick Ebersol SNL. Not so good, that one.
Well,
no.
Couple notables in that era.
Well, there were a lot of people that became stars from the Dick Ebersol, like Anthony Michael Hall and Robert Downey Jr., but the show blew.
Yeah.
The show was no good.
Yeah.
Kind of like no. Anyway, Steve, you wanted to talk about jobs.
Yeah, I would like to talk about jobs, actually.
What's going on, pal?
Lots of things. I'm finding jobs, moving and shaking. I've had some very nice people, all friends through Matt. Bruce Fretz, for one, who have all been very helpful. But sometimes I like to play Sherlock Holmes and look on my own, and I've been using that Craigslist.
You are the Sherlock Holmes of Facebook.
Yeah, I'm just as successful as Sherlock Holmes was. But so I'm wandering Craigslist one day, and I'm like, I always go to the TV section in Chicago. That's how I've gotten a lot of my freelance jobs, actually. And then I see open audition, and it was for something I don't remember the name of it. It's just William Deck needs people to just stand around.
William Deck?
William Deck. Well, not Billy. Billy Deck is what his friends call him.
You're not a friend.
No, you know why? Because Billy Deck likes to watch me and you eat. He can't come up and talk to us like a normal human being.
Oh.
He likes to stare. Just kind of like a, I don't know. I don't know.
So what,
really
what bothered you about this post then?
What's
the deal?
I don't think it should be under the category of television or film or radio.
So you're saying he's false advertising?
Yeah, like it's like you wander through there thinking you're going to get some kind of television job or film or radio. Listen,
wait, are you saying an entertainment job listing posted is not what you thought it would be?
No,
that never happened.
We were talking last night about Craigslist, and I go, you know, Steve, if you're looking for a job on Craigslist, be a little careful.
Yeah.
Yeah, be a little careful. Don't end up on any fat guy's casting couch is all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I know where that's going.
Oh, I'm going to pass that Stefano.
Well, blowjobs.
I won't get it. That was an inflammatory phone call last night.
Oh, I don't know.
Mr. Beef decided to call in last night and use Steve as a punching bag when Steve was on the phone as well.
Yeah. I have no idea what I did.
Hey, hey, you know, this guy is talking bad about everybody. I think we got to kick him off the show.
Here we go.
Oh, where's Lenny? Lenny can't form a meeting.
Well, let me just say this of it all. It was very surprising. I mean, maybe it was just busting balls, but let me tell you something. There's a few communities out there that probably also wouldn't like what he said because they wouldn't want me in their community to begin with. But, you know, oh, for the love of Luisi.
Wow.
We got Mime Luisi over here.
I know.
So much
miming.
Basically, whatever. It is what it is. That's where I stand, apparently. I'm the person. When there's no intelligent joke, I'm that guy.
What? Now, I've never listened to this show. What did he say?
Well, it wasn't even on the show.
This was
in private.
Was in the privacy of the gazebo.
It was too dirty for even this show.
It was very. I could clean it up.
Clean it up.
All right,
give me the Everybody Loves Ray version.
I'll give you the network television version. So
give us the That's So Raven version.
You're on the right track. Unfortunately, Matt has a cat. Is a little sick at the moment. She doesn't know how to make it to the litter box.
And a little diarrhea.
Every once in a while, we come down to some treats. Well, liquid treats, as it were. And Pat DiStefano of Mr. Beef on North Harlem was making the inference that what we found and thought was the cat was really from me after going with some activities with Matt that would be of the homosexual variety.
Okay.
That's explained.
All right.
I don't think we have to dig any deeper
into that. No, I don't think I need to ask a follow-up to that. Yeah.
So I'm sitting there.
Everything but Blumpkins were mentioned, I believe.
Oh, man.
So I'm sitting there like, I'm sitting there like, what the
so
hell?
So wait,
did
I got this straight. Pat thinks that you shard on the carpet when you were having gay sex with Matt.
Yeah, and basically just attacking Steve for no reason.
Why?
None.
Steve is the nicest guy.
Well, he didn't say anything that he didn't like.
All right,
Steve.
It was the nicest guy, Alex says. It was a very rough chop busting. I will say, I'm gonna toss up the busting chop.
And Matt was like, save it for the show.
Yeah, save it for the show.
Listen, Harvey Levin sitting across from me. Save it for the show.
Save it for the show. What'd you guys say? Don't use your best material in the gazebo.
No, that's where I get my best material.
So how's the resume going, though? You getting ready for L.A.?
I am getting ready. Actually,
Resume's looking good.
Yeah, I've been tossing that resume out to the networks, finding some jobs at...
The WB hiring?
Yeah, they want...
CW hiring?
They want stumpy gnomes to go around craft services or whatever.
I'm pretty sure they don't even hire your type behind the scenes
at
the WB.
No,
it's all good-looking people everywhere.
It is. Well, yeah. CBS, NBC,
How about
Paramount.
BET? Or did you throw one into BET?
I did.
Yeah, word.
I wrote that red line.
You know, don't be hating.
I rode that red line a lot past Roosevelt Road from time to time.
Pat Tobias did want me to confirm on September 20th, which is a month from now, but it was confirmed today. Chris McDonald will be joining us. Christopher McDonald.
Hey!
Oh, really?
I'm
all
a
right.
huge
Very
fan
cool.
of
all
Chris
right.
McDonald. Now let's see if it's a Wednesday.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Lee's on the edge of his seat.
Is he coming in? Is Pat still doing the show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It's a Tuesday.
Oh, okay, all right, good. All right,
the Lee Day.
I like Christopher McDonald. I want to talk to him. I can't wait.
Well, there, you got him.
So these jobs, yeah, I mean, the networks have tons of jobs out there if you have the degree. Actually, that's usually one of the requirements.
All these jobs were asking for a degree from you?
Bachelor's, yeah. Film, television.
For pages.
Yeah, for pages and even like PAs.
Production assistants.
Yeah.
They're degrees.
On the network, and they all want...
They're pretty serious.
They are
it's
very
salary.
Serious. Yeah, it is.
It's
it is salary.
It's benefits.
It is.
Benny's sale.
So that's looking good. So I don't know. I actually was down here. I found some contact info that could help me out to follow up at...
We were going through my personals.
No.
Some contact info in my address book.
Oh, no.
Well, you guys...
No, that's guarded with your life.
Yeah, it sure is.
You guys can swing by in your limos and come visit me on my shift at Fatburger.
they don't allow me in limos.
Well, I've been putting the resume together myself.
Yeah,
and
how's
I'm
that
not
going?
I don't want to say any names. I don't want to embarrass anyone or put anyone in an awkward position.
Please
but
don't.
I do want to thank everyone that has given me their name for a reference on my resume. That's very...
I, too, would
very
like to,
loving and kind.
I, too, would like to thank those who have done the same.
If any of you would like to share that love.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. I'm lucky enough that they're not Blockbuster managers on my resume. So that's the good news.
I used a couple instructors, too. Those of you out here who are like, well, I don't always have access to knowing people. Use college instructors. I got two of them on there.
That's true.
One of them worked for Cosby, worked for Fresh Prince, and I used him as well. He was cool with it.
So I was up very late working on some projects.
Yeah, you
got
a
couple
sleep.
Hours of sleep, yeah. Two or three. And I'm very excited. I think we're going to be starting a project in the next week or two that's going to be very good for while I'm out of town. Because I want to have shows to play while I'm out of town in L.A. in October on business. But but I don't want them to be best of shows. Because it's a podcast. We have all our stuff archived. If you're smart, all you got to do is go back a month and look at yourself. And pick the interviews you like yourself. Yes, we've seen it.
Yeah,
you're holding up for like an hour.
Anyway.
We'll find something useful for you to do. Any Hoosiers.
Please digress.
Yeah, please, yeah. The show's digressing.
Yeah.
No,
it's digesting.
Look, so I wanted to do something different instead of best of shows, so we're working on that. I just think best ofs is a little lazy. Clip shows are a little lazy.
I did ask someone about clip shows in the past.
Yeah.
It was always the number one answer I'd get about why a TV show would do a clip show, scheduling.
No, that's true. That's true.
I understand why shows do them.
But it's scheduling for us, too, and I just figure we can do better than that. We'll put in extra time and do something better.
Go for it.
We'll pre-tape. We're going to give this to you, the listeners, because we love you so much. We're not going to insult you with a clip show.
No. No, we're not.
Not be insulted.
So, Lee.
We'll insult you in other ways.
What's going on with you? How you doing?
I'm okay.
You got anything to rant about like Steve? Grumpy young Steve.
I haven't had a drink of alcohol since a week before yesterday. Very grumpy.
Nothing bad about that.
Yeah, nothing bad about it. Want to see how I can do it? You know, if I can do it, how long I can go? Usually people who say they're trying not to drink is because they're embarrassed of what they do when they do.
Do you have any good stories about what you do?
Yeah, I've done some things I'm not necessarily proud of, but. No regrets, other than the couple of times when I shouldn't have been driving. But I'm really grumpy. I'm grumpy like people I know who quit cigarettes.
Like when
grumpy.
I diet.
Yeah, when they lash out.
When people... I diet and work out, I'm very grumpy.
Yeah,
I don't find myself funny anymore.
Right.
I'm very irritable.
I don't think I'm funny, so I know how everyone else I know feels. And I'm. Oh, God.
Well, that's because you're sober, finally.
I know. It's
so tough. You're sober, now you know how everyone else feels.
Yeah, and you know what? I lost a few pounds,
I look good.
I'm sleeping good.
You look like you lost a few. The haircut, and it all looks good. I'm going to get a haircut soon.
I'm looking okay.
I have a story I could play.
Yeah.
Does anyone want to hear some news?
Yes. Lighten me.
Okay. Let's see if there's going to be a... Okay, here we go.
I'm Matt Fish.
Well, after the commercial. I'll let the commercial play. But basically, I'm going to set it up for you anyways. Cuyahoga Community College. Who cares about that place? Okay, so anyways, once again, another crazy story I'm reading today. This one's in Ohio. A man crashes truck into adult store, steals $800 sex toy.
Well, you already crashed into it. You know, you're not going to walk away with nothing. Might as well take a few stroke books.
Well, here we go. I'm gonna play this for you, and you let me know what you think.
Never before.
Oh my God, they're making me look at another commercial. Oh. What is this? Listen, I don't have time to pull fucking clips, okay? You have the 15 seconds, and I have the 15 seconds to waste. So here we go. All right, here comes the story for real this time, I think.
It was a saucy smash and grab. A man uses a semi to break into an adult store. Now, cops on the hunt for a creep with a dangerous sex drive.
A criminal with a major...
This is the 19 action news, by the way.
Oh, I love
it. So you have to have the action opening.
Yeah.
They're on the run for a creep.
It's a good news voice.
With a crazy sex drive.
He's got a better than average sex drive.
So here we go.
Sex Jimmy. Drive robbed a local adult store.
Yeah, the whole thing caught on tape, and he made off with one pricey toy. Our Harry Boomer has the developing news on this absurd crime.
Absurd.
Well, Denise, the store isn't releasing the video. Say they don't want to encourage copycats, but there's plenty of evidence of how badly the highly sexed man wanted to satisfy his fantasies. A sexual deviant is responsible for knocking in the double doors at this adult mart on Cooper Foster Park Road in Lorain County. He wasn't screwing around either. Once he drove the big rig into the doors, he headed straight for an $800 sex toy. Now, how should I describe this? It was a lifelike size masturbator complete with female genitalia with legs and buttocks.
What?
So similar to this mannequin, but much more sexually explicit. He had to drop the anatomically correct sex toy off someplace because police found the semi and the man still in it about a quarter mile from where he stole it. When police showed up, the sex toy was not in the cab. The man jumped out from the truck and ran down some nearby tracks. He got away. The Lorain County Sheriff's Department says the pervert stole this red truck from the JT Container Company on Wolford Avenue in Elyria around 2 a.m. Monday. He smashed right through a couple of gates on his way out. He knocked this one off his hinges and plowed right through the other one. It will cost about $2,600 to repair them. The truck was damaged, including the mirror, almost getting knocked off. Now, this is not the first time this store has been hit up for sex toys. Back in September 2009, a man drove a car into the store. He picked up a similar sex toy costing about $300, but he put it down and made off with one costing $150. Police don't think the burglaries are related, but someone had to have heard this truck rumbling through the neighborhood at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Maybe somebody even saw it. Drop a dime on this fool, call the police, and report this freak. I'm Harry Boomer, 19, Action News.
Sorry.
Something funny, sorry. Anderson? Something funny to
Anderson
you?
Anderson and I were having a good laugh.
Oh, God.
Drop a dime on this. And
drop a dime on this pervert.
And bring in this
crazy
freak.
I love how you kept calling him a pervert.
I know.
Was this like the Action News from 1970
yeah,
Harlem?
When did Isaac Hayes become a news anchor?
That guy sounded like a combination of Robert Evans and Regis Philbin, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah. No, he was so serious.
I know.
He's like, drop a dime on this fool.
Somebody drop a dime and bring in this sicko murderer.
The only way I could explain this is it's some female, and then he's like private areas.
Yeah, right.
This and that.
This anatomically correct fuck doll. Did you get a sense that he was as turned on saying that as the guy who stole the thing? I got a hard on just from hearing that. Take my cock out and jerk me off.
Who doesn't love Ohio?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's where this went down?
Yeah, Lorain County, Ohio.
What a shock.
Elria.
I thought that it was an accident that a guy drove into the store.
Elyria.
I thought that a guy drove into the store by accident, and while he was there, he grabbed a pleasure doll.
Adam and I got to watch the video from here. The guy drives right into the store. Like, the car crashes, windows are breaking on his car, on the store's front, everything.
Maybe it was a new item and he wanted to make sure he would get it before it sold out. He had to beat the crowd. He had to beat the crowd.
He didn't want to stand in line.
You beat the crowd before you beat yourself.
Yeah, he was waiting in line with David Faustino, all right?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Man. That's
with
funny.
David Faustino.
Yeah.
So that was that.
That was that.
Anderson Cooper will be having
$800.
Laugh
you can get a vibrating
that.
Pussy doll for a whole lot less than that.
Yeah, who spends
Action
kind of
19
money?
News.
Who spends this kind of money on that?
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, like, that's,
well,
yeah.
Other than Alex Bowiesi.
Sorry.
So awful.
The highlight of my life.
Yeah.
It's creepy. Hey, Anderson, can you laugh like that for us? You wait, once you meet him, wait for that to happen.
What happens when you get Anderson Cooper and this guy into a room?
That would be awesome. Oh my God, that's great.
I think I'm just going to make a laugh track that.
You should. Yeah, right. That would be brilliant, actually.
Oh.
Just put every goofy laugh
wow.
on.
Woo.
Oh, man. Good news story.
Anderson Cooper, by the way, has asked on Facebook, are we worried about Hurricane Irene? And most people are answering, yes, I'm stocking up on supplies and preparing. And there's a quarter of the audience that's saying, no, people need to relax.
No.
New York, this is what I love, though.
People not in the South.
I love every report on this story, though, about Hurricane Irene goes, New York and four other states that we don't need to name. Who cares about the four other states? But New York! Got to care about New York.
Right.
They don't mention the four other states. Here's a thing from Anderson Cooper. The governors of New York and four other states declared states of emergency.
Wow.
You
want to
know what those four other states are?
Wow, New York.
Yeah,
no.
New York.
They're the other guy. New York and the other guy.
God, all people care about is fucking New York.
I don't.
It's New York and the four other guys.
And the four other guys.
It's I know. Frankie Valli and the four other
states. Right, yeah.
I know how you feel, four other states. Don't you worry. What if one of these four states just gets devastated?
And then, no, because the number one news story will be like, phew, New York is safe.
New York and three
and
other states
news,
survived.
Yeah, in other news, we lost a state.
Yeah, right.
South Carolina is no longer with us.
Oh, they wouldn't say South Carolina, though. They'd be like, the other state
was
lost.
It was probably like New Jersey, Delaware, Connecticut, and Massachusetts.
Connecticut?
What about like Maine?
Or no,
and,
I'm not, sorry.
You don't think Maine's getting any of that action? Maybe New Hampshire? Maybe those coastal states by New York, I'm thinking.
Not Connecticut.
Connecticut's a little inland.
Rhode Island is what I meant.
Good.
Caesar says he thinks even D.C. got a part of it. But no one answered about it. No one asked about D.C.
No one cares about D.C.
No, all the reports I'm reading are New York and four other states.
What about Martha's Vineyard?
Well, they have their own rich people's news channel
that we're not
to
allowed to see.
And then it goes Martha's Vineyard, some other states.
But when they say some other states, they mean the continental U.S.
Right.
We have a breaking news bulletin. Take shelter.
They mean, like, for example, bad example, but or, never mind. I won't even go there. Never mind. Move
Filter?
Yes.
Did you filter out some thoughts?
Yeah, because an anniversary is coming up, and I don't want to
filter that, too.
Yeah, I will.
So Nora Dunn, by the way, is from Chicago.
Ah. Yeah.
So we have a Chicago girl joining us on the show.
Okay.
I don't know if we've had that yet. Have we had a Chicago
female? A female Chicago. Well, Jennifer Candy is very familiar with Chicago.
Very, but Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm giving it to her, but that's by... You know,
by association.
Yeah, that's by proxy. This is actually technically from the... Now, who knows, though? Every report that says someone's from big city, they're really from small town outside of big city.
Right, Elmhurst.
So maybe Nora Dunn's like, no, I'm actually from...
Palatine.
Well, I'm sure we'll have one of our stereotypical 20-minute discussions about Italian beef or pizza.
Oh, we are. We're going to have a few questions about food.
So we'll see if she really knows the score.
An hour and a half down 88 is in Chicago?
Hey,
Morristown?
Hey, probably.
Oh, Jesus.
Caesar says earthquakes know better than to go near Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, yeah.
But we're talking about the hurricane,
talking
Irene.
About the hurricanes
hurricane
now.
Irene.
Earthquake. Hello,
over.
Yesterday's news.
Yeah, and it was news I didn't really care about, but whatever.
No big whoop.
I didn't really. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want me to be the jag off, but
someone's
got to
be.
Hurricanes are more interesting, like dramatically than earthquakes.
Well, I told someone yesterday.
You
I don't
prepare
care.
For them. They're like
no, I don't care about hurricanes either, unless they're called Hurricane Matthew Aaron. Then maybe I get off my ass and watch the TV.
Oh boy,
is there an application to get one named after
Matthew
you?
Aaron is blowing really hard through parts of Dade County in Miami.
Well,
people are seeking
in the news
shelter.
Every night.
Yeah, right.
It's in the news every night.
Wow.
Matthew Aaron blew all of Cook County last night
away. People are still praying and huddling together.
No, but you know what? Like, even if an earthquake happened here or a tornado or something and my house blew away or my house fell down, I'd walk to a friend's house that was still up and be like, what's going on, pal? How's it going? I didn't say I was going to your house, Luisi. I got better things to do with my time.
Post-traumatic
events. I have better things to do, like go to Teddy's Red House.
So are you telling me that, like,
beef with Mutz.
Are we hearing in the world, like, if your life was like the show Roseanne, would he be your Crystal? Is that what I'm hearing?
he's more like my Jackie.
For some reason,
we spend all our time together. He's tired of Fred. He's had enough of screwing with Fred.
And you're giving him relationship advice.
Yeah, I have to keep trying to get him and Fred to be together. I work at it and work at it. And then when he was beat, when he was a cop.
Oh, when he was beat with Fisher.
Yeah, when Fisher beat him.
Oh,
that was rough times. That was rough times. And then you should have saw Alex when he was pregnant.
Oh,
my God. We got pregnant around the same time.
I'm so like Roseanne, it's not even funny.
I don't know why I thought of that, but I don't know. Well, because I thought the tornado episode of the Roseanne. That's why. That's why
I was thinking he was just Jackie.
You were talking tornadoes, and I just watched that episode a day or so ago.
Oh. And then Fred's always coming to me and going, Alex wants to have sex in the car.
Oh! Yes, it's true.
And I'm like, listen, Fred, I don't want to hear this. Alex, I'm eating hot wings.
Alex probably has really said that.
Is there room on that?
Not about Fred.
Is there room on that fake Vespa?
Uh-oh.
To bang on that.
Well, remember, Alex got a Crown Victorian when his car was in the shop just so he had a blowjob seat for Megan.
He did. No, this is true, folks. This is very true.
Oh, and of course, Nora Dunn calls in on that.
Oh.
Great, lovely, wonderful.
Luisi, you got saved by Nora Dunn.
Hello, you're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
Well, this is Nora, who's getting a blowjob.
Oh, Nora.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I should have timed it a little better.
Oh,
we have our buddy Alex, whose car was in the shop, and he decided he was going to rent a Crown Victorian while it was in the shop, just so his girlfriend had the middle seat she could lift up and
instead of
get some action.
Yeah, the gear shift was by the steering wheel instead of down.
Yeah.
Sounds very technical to me.
Well, that's what he's very technical about. That's all the technical he knows of. Nora, All right. Now, I hear you're from Chicago, but are you from outside of Chicago or actually the city, or what's the deal?
I grew up in the city of Chicago.
Wow. All right. Congratulations.
I guess so. West Side.
West Side.
So Austin Boulevard.
On the West Side? Because it's a little different now.
Cicero.
Well, the West Side, it is. My West Side was Madison between Holman and Austin.
Oh, okay.
That was the West Side, yeah. So we lived in several different apartments and stuff in that area in the last century.
Yeah, it's not like that now. Austin and Madison's not the best block to be on late at night nowadays.
No.
In those days, either.
In our day, either. Was not, you didn't go out for comic books late at night.
Wow.
So Nora, you lived here, you went to school here, then I'm guessing, and then Second City. And I'm also a member, I was a member of Second City, and now I'm doing this. But could you go into how you got involved with Second City?
Well, you know, I didn't go to Second City. I know I have been claimed as an alumni there, but I wasn't an alumni. I was in San Francisco, and that's when I started doing comedy, when it kind of hit there. And I performed with different, improv groups there. That's when Robin Williams, just before he went to Mork and Mindy. And Dana Carvey was there, and A. Whitney Brown, and Paula Poundstone, Ellen DeGeneres, all those people were working in these little clubs in San Francisco, and that's kind of where I came out of.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up, because let me tell you kind of a screwed-up story then. When I went to Second City for Chicago training, and I also have some female friends that have gone there for training, and we've all had teachers that told us Nora Dunn is an alumni.
I know.
Isn't that lovely?
I'm happy because it makes it appear that I went to school.
Well, you should get
that I actually have credentials.
Yeah.
Well, they should be paying you for using your name.
Yeah.
They might believe that. It's one of those things that I just don't refute anymore because I'm happy to be. Did you see this show that the South of Heaven?
No.
Oh my God, it's hilarious! One of the best shows I've ever seen there. I don't know if it's still running, but it was. I was lucky to get some seats, and it's hilarious. That cast is one of the best casts. I mean, they're all good. They're always good, but there's something about that cast that they're all stars. It's an all-star cast.
So you didn't go to Second City during.
I'm an alumni.
That's right. You're an alumni of Second City. Then you're going to San Fran.
Right.
Now you're in San Fran. How do you get discovered then for Saturday Night Live?
Well, I actually came back here.
Okay.
I came back in Chicago, and it was just a real fluke. I was performing around with other people. I had my own act, if you want to call it. I mean, I had my own stuff I did. And then I performed with some groups, and I was doing a little cable access show with a few people. And Saturday Night Live came looking for people. I wasn't looking for them. It wasn't on my radar screen. I wasn't thinking about it, to tell you the truth. But I was working as a waitress. My brother came to get me. He was an actor, and he had an audition and an agent. I didn't. So when he was at his meeting, he said, "My sister does a lot of characters. She's really great, and you should see her. She doesn't have an agent." So he literally came and got me from the restaurant.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. And I went to the thing, and Al Franken was there. He took my picture, and I said, "I can't stay. I left my station. It's brunch. We're really busy."
Oh, wow.
Wow. I didn't know that.
He couldn't believe it. I was serious. I said, "I left my station. Someone's watching it." And they weren't really seeing, I wasn't really, they weren't auditioning at that point. But then I got that thing together from the cable access show.
Right.
Sent them a tape, and then out of that tape, they came back again. But once I went to New York, I never came back. I was there with no money, and it was weird. It was fun, but it was, it was weird.
So, Nora, did Dick Ebersol and his staff hire you first, or was that when Lauren came back?
No, Ebersol was there, and then Lauren came back for that one year that was the weird year that we had Randy Quaid and Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
and Anthony Michael Hall. It was great people. Joan Cusack. They right. all went on to have huge movie careers, but it didn't gel as a show.
Right. We were talking about that earlier. But they did keep, correct me if I'm wrong, they kept you, John Lovett, and Dennis Miller. Am I right? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you guys went on. Now, you ended up then working with some of the greatest people in modern comedy. I mean, you're talking Phil Hartman, who God rest his soul, and God bless him. I love Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorites.
Great guy. Phil, he wrote for Pee Wee Herman. He wrote the show.
Yeah.
He wrote the movie.
Right.
He was a huge star at the Groundlings, noted for doing really crazy, hilarious, cutting-edge comedy. I mean, he did a lot of utility work on Saturday Night Live in addition to his own funny stuff.
Yeah.
But, he was and one of the nicest guys you'll ever want to meet. You know, comes from a big family, never got too big for himself, even though he had an amazing career.
Yeah, no, and Phil was just, he was
great.
The best.
Did everything.
Ever.
Did everything.
Ever. And I just hear he was the nicest guy. And then he should still be around because he was the best.
He should. Of course he should. But we were lucky. We had a cast that was really special. And I remember one, coming out of that year that was a disaster, I didn't think anybody was going to be coming back. And as we started moving along, no one ever acknowledged it, but we kind of thought, oh, my God, they like us.
Yeah.
Dana Carvey, Dana Carvey had the church lady.
Yeah.
He had a couple characters that hit, and that really drew the audience in, and that's kind of how they met the rest of us. I think they realized we had a real ensemble. We were lucky.
Well, and you had such a you guys did so well in that 5-year span that when Spade and Sandler and Farley and all them came around, at first they were not well liked.
No.
And that's how they missed you guys. I mean, they did have Phil still around, and I think Dana was around for a year or two, but they really missed you guys, and that should show how well you guys worked together.
Those guys were all called Koreans.
Yeah. We're getting questions sent in for you. I don't know if you want to answer any of them. Someone wanted to know about the incident on SNL with Andrew Dice Clay. And I know you've talked about this, and I know you probably don't want to expunge on it much further, but they did want to know if it was because of the vulgarity of Andrew Dice Clay or because of just the kind of comedy he did. And also, there's a lot of comedy that is like that now. So was it his way of treating women, or was it the vulgarity of his comedy that people on the show had a problem with?
Or was it just him in general?
Or was it
him? Well, it was his comedy. He didn't start out doing that kind of comedy. He ended up doing that kind of comedy. But I just felt like, he was a misogynist. He's a big gay hater. And I don't care where he did his work, but I just didn't feel that he should do it on Saturday Night Live. He just wasn't our style at all. And I didn't want to perform with him. And, it just happened. I didn't know he was going to be on the show till that Monday. And it just pissed me off. I just thought this guy, the comedy, what was it called? Comic Relief was in town that week. He wasn't involved in that. He wasn't allowed on David Letterman. People don't know that. He was banned from many shows.
No.
And not for being dirty, because there's a lot of hilarious dirty comedians. I love Chris Rock. I love that hard comedy. I don't like hate comedy. It wasn't funny what he did. It was just stupid, hateful stuff.
So
that that was just happened like that. I didn't really think it was going to be. I didn't call it a boycott. I just said I'm not doing the show. I'm not going to get on stage with that guy.
Well, and you know what? You have to respect that because it takes all right, I have to say it this way. It takes a lot of balls to tell your boss, this is a great opportunity you've given me, but I ain't doing it this week. Sorry. I don't agree with the guy. I don't like the guy. And I'm not going to do it. So I do commend you for that very much so. And Lee made a comment outside. Lee, do you want to share your comment with Nora about how you were saying, well, Nora's doing all right?
Yeah, right. I mean, you're appearing in on Entourage, and you were in Three Kings and all these movies, and he He turned up on Entourage, and other than that, I can't really think of anything that that he's been involved with.
Well, he backed himself into his own corner. I mean, right. He didn't turn out to be a guy who could do anything else. There's other guys who actually did that character better.
Right.
You know, you the 2.5 men, that's the same kind of thing. Of course, yeah. It's a sitcom, and you can't get like he was. But, you know, he was so uncomfortably creepy. The stuff he said is not repeatable. It's not repeatable. It was like about raping your daughter. And he would do that in nightclubs. That was on his last CD, and it was uncomfortable and creepy. You don't really – it's hard to joke about that because there's really – it's like what side do you take? I mean, it's just
– yeah.
You know, he had shock value. And value does not have longevity. You
right.
have to actually be funny.
And there's a big difference between the way he jokes about these shocking things and a George Carlin does. George Carlin's actually funny and insightful and intelligent, and Andrew Dice Clay's just crass
well,
in that way.
You watch it.
I saw George Carlin at the last HBO Comedy Festival. I saw one of his last performances.
Yeah.
He was hilarious. He was angry. He was dirty. He was politically incorrect.
Yeah.
It came from a very intelligent place, and you got to see there's a difference there. There's a difference there. You knew where he was coming from.
See, and I'm glad we talked about this because I think this will end the misconception that maybe some comics have that Nora Dunn was being a prude. No, it's not that she was.
I know, and that's what bothered me about that. Like, it's not the language, and
right.
I don't know. You can't. I don't know what language you use on your show, but I happened to see Seinfeld that week. He was in town.
Yeah.
And Kevin Meaney was there. And so I am known as the superhero of swearing, especially when I'm watching sports. So I was telling them in my way why I don't like Andrew Dice Clay, and they were laughing so hard because I was swearing. I was using my words, but that's not the problem with him.
Right. No, I agree. That's very well said.
Well, you watch one of his specials, and people aren't really laughing in it. They're cheering. They're not laughing.
Right.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of
fans.
So it's a rally, not really.
Yeah, it's a rally.
It's a rally.
Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
Nora, I wanted to ask you then. You leave SNL, and how is it transitioning from doing SNL to actually doing different roles on television and in film? And kind of like proving yourself as more of an actress than just doing SNL.
It's hard. You know, I started out acting. I did theater. And Saturday Night Live was my first break. It was the first time I'd been on television. I didn't realize at the time how special it was to be able to write your own material, to be on a show that didn't have the kind of boundaries that you have on sitcoms. And so it was weird when I came, especially coming off. I mean, I went back to the show, but then coming off and being like, having that thing that happened before I left and that everyone wanted to talk about. It just, I kind of wanted just to get that behind me. But it was harder. I think it's easier now because so many movies have spawned out of Saturday Night Live and shows. I mean, I'm fortunate that I've worked so long. And I've done a lot of series TV, and I've done, you know, I did a pilot and then a show that lasted 8 episodes. I've done a lot of series and recurring. And, I mean, along the way, I've done some stuff that I really like, and I've done some stuff I don't like, or, you know, like, it's not, I don't have a kind of resume that's stellar. But I feel like coming from where I'm coming from out of the 80s and having to prove that I can act, and actually, the first movie that I had an arc and a big part was Three Kings. And that's just because I got that. There was a lot of big actresses who wanted that part, but the director hired me on on my audition.
Yeah.
And that character did nothing but swear.
Right.
And he's asking me, "What kind of family do you come from?" I came from the west side of Chicago. I've got 3 brothers and 2 sisters, and I grew up on the west side. And that's how that character was so fun. And all we improvised, you know. All she did was swear, but that was a good movie. And
yeah.
And after that, I started getting a little more parts of dramatic parts, even though that was somewhat more of a comedy. But
I want to get to Three Kings, but before that, I do want to tell you, I think, and tell me if you agree with me, I think a big turning point for you also was you were getting some pretty solid TV work on Sisters and the Nanny.
Yeah, that's right.
And a lot of recurring work. And, I mean, obviously, we had Mo Collins on yesterday, and I was talking to her about this. And I think when a Mo Collins or a Nora Dunn comes in for an audition, maybe the role's written for one episode, maybe it's a recurring role, I don't know, but you have improv capability on top of your acting knowledge, and you're able to bring something else to the table, and all of a sudden they find a new character for their show.
Right.
Yeah.
I love
improv. Yeah. I just did a movie with Seth Rogen. I did Pineapple Express, and we actually did a lot of scenes that were not in that movie, and we improvised. And I have a little part in his movie, produced by Lauren, by the way. My Mother's Curse. And we improvised, and then they had me come back and do another scene because of that. I just love that. I can do that. It's a lot of actors, and really, really good actors, completely freeze up when they're asked just to play a scene. Like, let's do it without the script.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things where the background I have comes from there, and so it does, you know, if people like Entourage, there's no improvisation. But Curb Your Enthusiasm, I did that one. That I wish that was such a great show because there are no lines.
Up Curb.
Yeah. This show is kind of a roster for Curb's guest
We've
stars.
Had a lot of Curb people on. Yeah. And that's the nice thing about doing this show is I've said from day one I'm only going to have guests on that I actually like.
Right.
That I actually know of their work, like, enjoy. So we go out and we get, and it just so happens, Curb, I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
So anyone that's done Curb, I've had on or tried to have. It's great. Now, back to Three Kings, though. Being someone that has loved this business and wants to be in this business so bad, I've read a lot of stories about Three Kings. And we've heard it was rocky on the set of Three Kings. Did you have any experience with that, or was that just the one incident between David O. Russell and George Clooney, and you don't really know?
Well, no. I mean, that whole thing was, I was there for that whole thing, and I saw that coming, you know, several miles away. It was going to come to that because that was, you know, David Russell came from making two really great indies. That was a big budget movie. Really, really hard movie to make for the amount of money that they did it for, and it was a really hard shoot. It was central Mexico, way down south by Mexicali, and it was always in the desert, and it was really not comfortable. And George Clooney was coming out of, he was getting kind of murdered in the press for leaving television, the ER, and a lot of stuff coming out that he couldn't act and he should go back to TV and that kind of thing. And that kind of, that role kind of broke him out, I thought. It was a big starring role for him, but it was hard. And I think David, he has no finesse really with actors.
Yeah.
I was taking it because I liked him. And then Mark Wahlberg, he got along really well with David. But, I mean, my brother's a football coach.
Yeah.
I try to tell that to Clooney. Like, look, that's how he is. He's tough. You know, I've seen my brothers go up to his players and knock their helmets or say, you know, like really, really give him a hard time. And that's kind of how David was. He would give you a really hard time. He would yell during the middle of the scenes and, you know, it's just the kind of director he was, and he used to make me run laps before my line so I could barely stand up. But I felt like he kind of, that helped my performance. I was kind of happy to do it. So I think that's how that happened. That day, oh, my God, it was Mark Wahlberg. He told David that he should dress more rap-like. And David comes to set with big bags of director, baggy pants and a cap, and people's like, "Where it's hot. He's got like a beanie on."
Huh.
It's ridiculous. So they came to blows. I thought Clooney would have killed him.
Oh, I always have George's back. George.
No, and
yeah, he went on to do some things.
Yeah, I love George. I've loved him since
the end. What Clooney said about it, he goes, hey, you know, actors often butt heads with directors.
Yeah.
Well,
it was literally true.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, they did butt heads. Well, but I do love your approach to this, though, because Lily Tomlin and David O. Russell also had a famous spat. And Lily Tomlin,
yeah,
to this day, says, but you know what? We're cool.
Yeah.
That's the way he is. That's the way I was. You could see in those scenes, Dustin Hoffman was like scared shitless.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, what do I do?
Do it, yeah.
Lily, calm down, Lily. Don't give him the finger, Lily. But, you know.
Lily was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, she was
and
great.
And those things on YouTube, she was hilarious
what
she was saying.
Oh, I would not want to fuck with Lily Tomlin.
No.
Oh, my God. But my brother was in that movie. My brother Kevin's an actor, and he was in that movie.
We love
Kevin. And he's like, I don't know what happened on that thing. I don't know what was going on. I said, well, I was supposed to be in that movie. He told me I was going to be some kind of ex-tennis pro, and I took tennis lessons and stuff, and then he rewrote it. I don't know, whatever it was. But he made another good movie. He made The Fighter.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I'm glad you brought up Kevin, because we just want to tell you, we love Kevin. Your brother's fantastic.
Yeah,
and, you know, now he's got that Transformers money lying around, I'm sure, so he's good. I saw him in Unstoppable the other day. He's a fine character actor, just a great actor.
Isn't he good? He's got a series coming up on HBO with Nick Nolte and...
Luck and Dustin Hoffman.
I think it's crazy.
I can't wait. I can't wait for that. Dustin Hoffman, Nick Nolte, Joan Allen. What a cast.
Yeah,
Kevin.
Dennis Farina.
Second cousin, Dennis Farina.
Yeah.
We'll get in that story some other time. But I want to get back to, you got to work with one of my idols, Gary Shanley. And with What Planet Are You From? And what was that experience like for you? And how's working with Gary Shanley? Because,
I just had a small part in that. But Gary Shanley... I did. Roseanne did a talk show, which was really good, by the way. She had a great talk show. I did her first show, and Gary Shanley was the main guest. And I had, you know, Gary Shanley, did he host on it? Like, I've met him several times, and he's, you know, inherently hilarious, funny guy. He's like Warren Beatty's best friend. I don't know. There's an odd couple, but they are really good friends. And, but I was doing this character who was she's like, for some reason, she's always with serial killers. Every man she meets, because she claims, like, you can't control who sits next to you on a bar stool. So I came on in character on Roseanne. And Roseanne was trying to get help for this woman. The audience didn't know that it was me, because I had a big wig on, that she just was always with killers. Well, I went into Gary's dressing room after he was getting ready to go on. I had on real tight pants, the halter top. And I go to his door, and he had, like, people there, and I was like, I need to see Gary. And they're like, what? And I go, I'm here to see Gary. I'm a friend of Gary's. And he looked at me, and his face just turned white. I go, you don't remember me? Are you going to say you don't remember me from the Peninsula Hotel? And he was like, no. And his guys go, we're going to call security. Who are you here with? And he was sweating bullets, like he's trying to remember who this woman is that he's been with or something. And then I said, it's me, Gary.
Gary and ladies.
What's he doing now?
What is he doing now? That's a good question. I'm buddies with Peter Tolan, and he wrote for Larry Sanders' show.
That was the best show. That spawned everything.
The greatest. I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Really
that
did.
Spawned everything.
It,
I agree.
A lot.
And even Peter, I think, does not have a clue what Gary's doing with himself. I hear he's at parties here and there and whatever, but I don't know about him working.
I'm sure he's schmoozing around. Maybe he doesn't want to work.
That's probably what it is.
He hasn't come up with a show. Like, he was a great stand-up.
Well, it's him and Albert Brooks for me, and they both just work whenever the hell they care
to
work.
Right.
If they want to, they don't have to work.
No, they don't. Now, I also want to talk about, let's get into Curb real quick before I get into who else you've worked with, because you've worked with the who's who of actors. But Curb, Okay, so we briefly talked about, but you had a great scene on Curb. Well, you played an executive, CBS's Larry's pitching
show.
And you and Larry don't exactly get along too well in the show. What a shocker. But what was that scene like? What did Larry give you for direction, or did he not? And what was that like?
He just tells you what the scene is about, and he only tells you if he doesn't like something. And, yeah, so that was, he's not an outgoing guy. He's very much like that character in a way. I mean, he's kind of a curmudgeon. I don't know how he continues writing these funny things. He has a bottomless pit of stuff. But when he's in the scene, he kind of comes alive. When he's not in the scene, I feel he's kind of, he doesn't want to socialize. He doesn't want to chit-chat. He doesn't like small talk. He doesn't even like, hey, how are you? Nice to see you. He doesn't like any like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, you can tell that if he doesn't like what you're doing, he'll just say it. He'll just say, don't say that. And luckily, I mean, I felt comfortable on that set. So, and that happened to be one of the classic episodes. I steal forks from restaurants.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. I did want to update people. I got a message from one of my buddies who used to work at NBC, who you talked to today, Steve.
Oh,
and
nice.
Ken wanted to say he was there the night Dice hosted on SNL. It was the first time ever they used metal detectors.
Really?
True story.
Wow.
It's true.
Really?
Yeah.
What night was that?
The night Dice hosted on SNL was the first time you guys used metal detectors, Ken says. And he worked there. So I'm going to take that as...
I thought I was going to show up and do something crazy.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
Well, that's how highly they thought of his fans, I guess.
Right.
Wow.
the more you know.
Yeah, the more you know.
They didn't bring guns into SNL. They just brought a knife so they could snort coke off it.
Do you... Yeah. Nora, do you have this kind of small typecasting as being, you know, I can kind of put the executive in this category, but man, you could play a doctor like the rest. You are the psychiatrist of all psychiatrists, aren't you?
I know. I love that part because you know what? It's a classic thing with actors is about listening.
Yeah.
Everybody will tell me that. And that's what I do, and I just sit there and watch Jeremy Piven, and he makes me laugh. I mean, as a person, he makes me laugh, and just sitting there, every time I did Entourage, of course, he had a blow-up in therapy.
Yeah.
And it was always hilarious. And his wife, Perry, she's a fine actress. I mean, they're actors. They come 100% prepared. They have tons of lines. I mean, they have to memorize those lines, of course, and there's not a lot of time. So I think he's going to have, I don't know what it will be for him not to be airy anymore.
Well, I agree with you, but I love Perry Reeves, too. I think she's fantastic.
Yeah.
She is someone that I really hope gets a lot of good roles in the future because she could do a lot, and she's hilarious.
I think she will. I mean, she is also a great dramatic actress, and she's really, really funny, and...
Well, and that's what I was going to say about you. You're a good dramatic actress, too. And what I love about you on Entourage is I'm watching a John Cazale documentary last night, and he's one of my favorite actors of all time.
I know you.
And, Nora, you kind of have this thing that I was watching this. I knew you were coming on, and I kind of put two and two together here. And John Cazale was not afraid to be quiet. And you don't get loud in this Entourage. Ari's yelling at you, and you are calm as calm can
right.
be. Like, you don't mind letting the character be the character. You're not trying to be Nora Dunn. You're not trying to blow the things up, you know, like be a big comedian. But, like, you're so good in that role.
Yeah.
You really are.
No, thanks, because I like what I do in that, and it's not nothing.
Yeah.
If you really listen. And this thing that we did this scene, myself and Seth Rogen, and listening.
Yeah.
That would be the key that I would always tell any actor, anybody, if people who do improv, like those people at Second City, the pros.
Yeah.
They have to listen, or you're going to make a fool out of yourself. You have to listen and just react. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree.
I have to say, Nora, I bet you didn't think that you would be compared to John Cazale when you came on this show.
But he's a genius.
He's good.
Genius.
Yeah.
Nora
yeah.
could have the conversation.
But you know what? That's what makes her a great actress, though, is like John. John did not want to be John Cazale, big, huge movie star. John Cazale wanted to be this character he's playing, and he wasn't afraid to be empty on the inside and passive and quiet and just a great actor. And I just wanted to tell you, I do really appreciate your dramatic work on Entourage as well.
Thank you.
I mean, I really think that you really do. You are the glue to that whole relationship with Perry Reeves and Ari Emanuel, Ari Gold.
Hey now.
Yeah, or Jeremy Piven, because she's been around the whole time. I mean, the whole series, she is the glue that keeps them together. Without this shrink character, they would have broken up a long time ago, because Perry Reeves forces Jeremy Piven to go see the shrink all the time.
Yeah. Bro,
they're done.
And he had some really funny stuff this season.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Bobby.
Yeah, he had some serious stuff, too. He was saying, I don't know if the fans are going to like this, because he had some really serious stuff towards the end of the season. But I think it's good. And they're talking about that. You know, I think they will do a movie.
Yeah, I think so, too. They after the Sex and the City money, they gotta do a movie. I will. But, you know, it's also interesting, too, because, I've always liked Jeremy as an actor. You know, you hear stories about him as a person and whatever, but you're sitting here saying he's a great person. Great to hear. It's nice to hear, because we've heard opposites sometimes.
Oh, I said this to Brandon. I've heard every possible thing you can hear about it.
Yes.
Some people say, oh, no, that's not true. And then people say, actually, that's been blown out of proportion. That is true.
But he has had some great scenes on Entourage. And to be honest with you, Jeremy Piven's best work on Entourage is when he's doing dramatic stuff.
Yes, I agree.
When Perry Reeves breaks up with him at the end of last season and into this season, and before he finds out she's even dating Bobby Flay, there's this scene where he's crying and he's drunk, and it's fantastic. It really is.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah, no, I did want to give him credit for that.
No, I like him. I like his work.
I have another question coming in here for Nora about Entourage, and people want to know if with everything with this last season, if you've had a run into Andrew Dice Clay at all. People aren't dropping this Andrew Dice Clay thing.
Oh, boy.
No, and, you know, I wasn't in town for the big rap party, which killed me. I had to come back, and it's one of those parties, you know. Normally I wouldn't go to a rap party, but that was the end of the whole show.
Oh.
And so all of those, they had so many great guest stars on there that were played themselves. Remember that stuff with Matt Damon? That was hilarious.
Yeah.
It's just like everybody, so many great people did the show. So I would assume that probably he was there. But, I don't think that there'd be any, I don't care seeing him. I don't know. I don't need to expunge on it further.
I felt bad not asking audience member questions there. But I did want to ask you about, you have worked with someone that I actually really, really like. The man in me would not like to say this, but Nancy Myers. You just did It's Complicated.
Yeah.
I thought a phenomenal film. Phenomenal. I really did.
I love the movie.
Yeah, I love it, too. I think it's great. And what was it like working for a powerful female director like Nancy Myers? Was it any different than doing films with all these male directors? What was that process like?
In itself, it's different because she's a woman. I did two other movies with her, and I really, really like her. Number one, she pays. You know, a lot of, she pays her actors, and she's respectful to actors. And she commands these giant sets and writes the movies. So I thought there was a difference. It was kind of nice just to know that there's so few female directors. I just worked with another one, and I can't think of her last name. She's terrific. She directed My Mother's Curse. And it's no different. The film runs the same. It's just that you just feel a little bit different. I thought Nancy is hugely successful, and she obviously knows how to work with big stars, and directors have to be able to do that, and they have to be able to direct the big stars without being intimidated. And it's still, a lot of men. It's very male, you know, camera crews and that kind of stuff. A lot of that's, you know, grips and those kind of things. They're going to be guys, you know, it's that kind of work. But so, yeah, that was that. We had stuff. We had a hilarious scene cut out of that, which Meryl Streep had. I had told her she should do some dating, and she goes and she does this, like, I don't know, this dating service, and she thinks she's going to be with a guy in his 50s, and he turns out to be 17.
Yeah.
And I see her at the restaurant, clearly having a date with this boy, but she was hilarious.
Yeah.
She now, was really funny.
And weren't you wasn't your character married to Stephen Altman in the movie? Am I wrong? Am I think? Who are you
Bruce,
married?
Bruce Altman.
Bruce Altman.
I was going to say Stephen Altman.
I meant Bruce Altman. I'm sorry. He's fantastic.
Great character actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
He's really good.
I was spacing out there.
But, you know, she has all these parts that are small. It's all that, yeah. All those, you know, it was fun because I've worked with Alec Baldwin. I worked with him on Working Girl and Miami Blues.
Yeah,
so that was my first movie and my second movie. And then, of course, he did Saturday Night Live a couple times. He's probably done it 15 times or something. But so it was funny because we just got to sit around and tell stories, and he has kind of a similar family background than I do, and so we had a lot of stories, and it was that's the fun thing when you work on a big budget movie. There's a lot of downtime because they have so much money to spend. When you're working on an indie, you're working, but you work on a big set, you have an hour that you're chatting, then you're getting something to eat, and then, you know. So I was so lucky because I really got to you know, hang out with Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin. Of course, they have very different lives than me. But
well, speaking of John Cazale, Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
There you go. Did you meet Nancy Meyerson on I Love Trouble?
Yeah.
What I'm thinking of?
I Love Trouble.
Her, right?
I did that, and I did the Father of the Bride.
Yes.
That was a long time. What when she was still married and she and her husband were writing movies?
Yeah.
I think they wrote the second one, too. And then I work with her I auditioned for her a few times, but I didn't get. She's very businesslike. I mean, she doesn't mean to be mean ever, but she'll just say things like, no, that's not what I want at all. I don't know. Please, is there a way you can make this funny, Nora? And I go, I don't know. Well, okay, fine. You know, she's just really cut and dried.
Well, that's good, I guess. She knows what she wants. Before I get to your future projects, you talked about Pineapple Express, which people really liked a lot. Now, this is a movie that wasn't received as well, but I thought it was a very interesting film with a really eclectic cast, and that's Southland Tales. Now, you get involved with this project. First of all, did you understand the script, Nora?
I didn't. And you know what? That role was going to be played by another actor. I won't say. She had to do something else. She was quite famous. I stepped in 4 minutes before shooting. I told him I read the script and I didn't understand it. He said, don't worry about it. You're just a, you know, that character, a lot of it was cut out. The scenes of us smoking crack, which we were doing, we had to smoke this weird stuff that was supposed to be crack. And I also made my character with a porno director. She directed porno films so that she could make documentaries of women's erotic lives in Iran and Iraq and stuff. And there was a scene there that was really intense where I was crying. I don't know. But anyway, I didn't know what it was about. But I loved doing it. I loved that character, the one that John Larroquette and my character had some kind of history together, and that. At the end of the movie, he had us kissing before the blimp blew up, the thing. But that didn't make the movie, so I didn't know. I mean, I kind of enjoyed it, though.
I got to tell you, seeing you and John Larroquette together, though, was like my wet dream.
Yeah, it's funny.
I love John Larroquette.
Oh, that wasn't a weird thing.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, I hope your husband's not listening.
Yeah.
My apologies.
It's
so oops.
Yeah.
I need to get a filter.
Yeah. Boy, this is filter night tonight. My God.
Oh, my God. 4 shows a week. I'm getting tired, okay?
Hey.
Now it's just shooting right from the head to the mouth.
This is Anything Goes Thursday, so, you know, If we'd had her on PBR, on PBR, PBS Tuesday.
Yeah, and
there's my filter.
NPR Tuesday.
No, okay. It's on Lee's mind
PBS,
right now.
Yeah,
booze,
yeah.
Lee.
Yeah. Drink much.
Midwestern beer.
Nora, I apologize about you entering my wet dreams.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm flattered.
Nora, I haven't had a drink since yesterday, and beer is turning up in all these conversations. You know, I can't stop talking about beer.
Just call the 800 number.
I know, I gotta talk.
And leave your laundry elsewhere.
I know.
Good God.
Yeah.
What are you, the patron saint of not drinking? Fuck.
Oh, God.
Christ.
I fucking hate it.
Oh,
I know you play a psychiatrist on TV.
I was going to say, she's going to start charging by the hour.
I know.
Unfortunately, I don't have credentials. I'd try to help you guys, but I don't have any real knowledge.
Well, why don't we just
know where to start?
Second City says you've got those credits. We'll just, you know, slap them on there.
If Second City says so, it must be true.
Yeah.
Nora, what do you got coming up in the works? What can we see you in next?
Oh, well, I'm doing that Nora Ephron play here in town.
Oh.
I'm going to meet with the kids this weekend. If you want to score points, bring your girlfriend to see it. It's really a play that women love. It's very, very oriented. Love, Loss, and What I Wore. It's funny. I liked it a lot. So I'm going to do that here for, I think, 5 weeks. But I have a couple movies that should be coming out. One is with, you know who Chris O'Dowd is?
Chris O'Dowd?
What has he done?
No, Chris O'Dowd. He was in Bridesmaids. He's the cop that pulled over.
Yes, he's excellent in Bridesmaids.
But he was also in that, he's done a lot of stuff, but he was in that Pirate Radio that wasn't a good movie, but he was good. I thought he was great. He's hilarious.
Yes,
he played my son.
So he really has the accent. He really has the accent, though. That's real.
Yes. He's from, is it Wales? Yeah, but he's hilarious. We did a movie called Frankie Go Boom.
Yeah.
And it's really, I don't know, it's very raunchy, but it's really, really funny. Chris Knopf is in it. Charlie Hunnam, I don't know if you know.
Yeah, Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy. I love it.
Yeah, and it was, he's my son. We have a very inappropriate relationship, that's all I can say. I actually get looked into performing in the porno movie he's directing.
Oh, well, that's lovely. Another porno role. Another porno role.
I played the devil. Nora.
You know what, Nora? I no longer take back my wet dream remark because you're in all these porno roles.
All right.
I don't know when that will come out. And I did another one called LOL with Demi Moore and Miley Cyrus, actually.
Oh,
hello. French director, Lisa Arguella.
It's best I don't make a comment about you and Demi Moore in the same film. And my Cyrus. I steer clear.
I know. It's a cute movie, though. The French film director, she did the French version. So I don't. You never know what's going to happen to these movies after you make them. So.
I didn't know Nora Ephron was doing a play. That's wild. No one gave me the reason.
Well, she adapted this play with her sister.
Okay.
And so it's got, I don't know how many people will be in this cast. In New York, they had 5 cast members. Oh, one of the actresses, really, really cute, was in it. She's from Entourage with the long black hair.
Oh, Emmanuel
Cherokee? Yeah.
Yeah. She was in it. She's really good.
She's adorable.
She was in it in New York. So, yeah, she's adorable. She's really good. It's sad. That job, I did the show for 4 years.
Yeah, well, you'll get their name at some point, Nora. Don't worry.
I go to therapy for that. Every day I'm never going to work again. But
well,
not everybody in America, but everybody in America says that.
Nora, how many?
We never know if we're going to wake up. What we're going to wake up to?
Oh, I know. I feel you there. How many plays have you done though? I was wondering because I made my I went from Second City to doing plays at Piven Theater. Funny enough, and I was kind of wondering what your experience was because I'm wondering if it's as close as mine. I wonder if we're on the same page here.
I haven't done a lot of plays. I did a play in L.A., Precious Sons, with Greg Jabara. I don't know if you know him, but he's a big Broadway star. He's a great actor. He won the Grant. He won the Tony at least once. He's doing Billy Elliot on Broadway right now.
Oh, that's
And I've done my own shows. I'm writing my own show. I did it in Madison, Wisconsin for two nights called Mythical Proportions. After this is done, I got to get back on track because I'm still writing it and I'm doing a whole kind of block of stuff. I kind of have to figure out where I'm going to perform it and how I'm going to perform it.
Yeah.
But it's that stuff is, for me, it's a commitment. It's not something I could just go and do in a nightclub, but I'm going to find the right settings for it. And then I always have to, you know, it's hard to take that time off because of the way I work. I'm a supporting actor, and the parts come up here and there, and I always have to be prepared if I get something. I mean, my manager actually called me when my brother was doing Samantha Who.
Yeah.
My manager called me. It was 8 degrees in Chicago. It was snowy. I'm sitting here in my pajamas, and he calls and goes, Nora, I got something for you. It's really good, really. And I'm like, well, Tom, what is it? When do I have to go? It turned out I had to leave that day.
Well, that's lovely.
And I was so pissed. I was like, what? It's 8 degrees out. I don't plan on leaving my house. But I had to. I had to leave my house. And, you know, it was fine because I got on a plane. But I'm not, you know, believe it or not, I'm not 25. Some people, I can't just hop up. I have two dogs. I can't just walk out my door. But
well,
I can't say no to a job.
Now, wait just a second, Nora. Now you're making me feel old. I'm 28, but I have three dogs. I can't hop
28?
Up. Yes, I'm 28. Oh, I just turned 28 a week ago.
We're babies.
Yeah.
28.
But I got three dogs. I can't get up and go do shit when I want to do it.
Oh, well, I know. I mean, if they're like children, what are you going to do? One of my dogs can't hear anymore, which is kind of nice with the storms.
Yeah.
And 4th of July, people are throwing M80s.
Oh, boy.
So are you? Do you still have a place in Chicago, Nora, or are you strictly LA?
Oh, yeah.
Or what? Oh, you
I
do?
I have a place here, and I'm a permanent resident here. I have a place in LA, too. But I'm not a resident there anymore. But I like Los Angeles. I like the city of Los Angeles. I like the state of California. It's not Chicago, and it's not New York. But I mean, for years, I refused to like Los Angeles. I could only compare it to Chicago, and there is no comparison. You know, Chicago's a great city. Los Angeles is an interesting place. But if you expect a city, you're not finding that. There's no glue that keeps it together. There's no one who really talks about, like, what binds us here. It's sports.
True. That's true.
You know, it's sports. It's the mayor. It's local politics. It's whatever is going on. It's the whatever it is, everyone's kind of on the same page. In L.A., you know, they don't know. It's just so spread out. There's nothing there, but I think it's great and interesting, and there's a lot of cool people and great clubs and great. Yeah. I like it, but I didn't want to. I certainly did not want to live there forever.
What about the food, Nora? It's better in Chicago, right?
Oh yeah.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. Well, we're moving out to LA in 2 months. We're taking the show out to LA, and it took me a while to do this. I moved out to LA once. And then I'm like, I did some stand-up out there, and then things happen, I come back. So now I'm kind of like, all right, I'm going to give L.A. a good chance here. I know a lot of people out there. Let's go make something happen, or at least try. So we're going to go out there, but I am kind of like you. I'm going to keep a residency here because there's really no place like Chicago.
No, you have to come home. I always came home a lot, but wasn't that big of a deal.
Go ahead, Lee. Tell her where my residency is.
I was
going to
say, keep a residency in the basement of your parents' house in a suburb.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I hope they don't rent the I hope they don't rent the borders out.
They better not.
Yeah. Okay.
There will be a problem.
Okay.
So how often are you in L.A. then, Nora? Or do you like spend summer?
This year, I kind of go out probably on a basis of about once a month. You know, it depends. Like right now, I'm going to be here for all of fall because of the play, and I'm real happy about that. But, you know, come February, I can't be here. I didn't realize that. I grew up here. I didn't even remember winter. But I realized I had never stayed through winter. I would just come here, and then I would leave.
Yeah.
When I was little, I didn't realize, but I just felt basically, you know, I can't have, like, a rope in my house. I can't have a weapon. I can't have any razor blades.
No.
No shoelaces. you know, I actually have to have a cavity search before I come home because if I have anything, you know, I will just kill myself.
Well,
I can't do it. I remember the first year I came back, I thought, this is uncivilized. It's so, like, you can't go outside. You can't. So, yeah, I find that really hard. I find February to be really hard.
I am very happy to be in Los Angeles this winter. Let's put it that way.
It's really nice there in the winter. Once you get past the fire season. See, they have a fire season. We don't have that here. Like, the whole place burns down.
I'm going to try to avoid that. Yeah, I'm going to work on it.
Don't be lighting any matches. Don't throw your cigarettes down a nice ravine. You know, you're out looking at a view and you flip your cigarette.
She knows
don't
I smoke.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
She knows I smoke.
Fire season is all year over there now these days, though.
Yeah, well, I walk around with buckets of water. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Well, splash.
Yeah. She did her homework. Next. She knows you smoke.
I know how to put forest fires out. Splash. Little bucket
only
here.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Thanks,
only
Smokey.
You can prevent Matthew Aaron.
Nora, you don't smoke, do you?
Not anymore.
Is that highly... Is that like too unpopular in L.A.? Am I going to have to drop smoking?
No. People your age smoke, but, you know, you can't smoke in the rest. Like, it's just like here.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, you shouldn't smoke.
I know.
If you're in L.A. and breathing, you're smoking. That's how the air is there. So
good.
You may as well do it through... The straw, like a cigarette is like a straw.
How long have I been telling you guys you should all start? See, you might as well have started. I've been trying to get you guys to start forever.
Can't. Asthma.
That's a bad habit to break. I mean, just talking about it, and I don't smoke, and I haven't smoked in a lot, like years, and I feel like having a cigarette. I'm like, gee, maybe I'll go down to my neighbor Frank.
Well, this conversation was pretty good. You have to have a smoke after.
I know, this was good.
Yeah. I'm going to have a drink now.
Oh, yeah.
Now Nora's talking not my language, no.
Are you sure you're not in California?
She's in Chicago having one of these. Nora, I thank you so much for doing this show. I hope you do it when we're out in LA. Will you sit in the studio and do some jokey jokes with us?
Yeah, that'll be fun. Keep in touch.
I will. You're the best, Nora. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, are you got Twitter or anything you need to promote to? A Twitter? Are you tweeting?
Or plug one of your upcoming 19 projects? You have a lot of projects coming up.
Yeah, you can just say that. I have so many projects going down that I can't really talk about them.
Okay.
Well, I will see you in the winter out in L.A.
I will be seen tomorrow in Wheaton. My brother has an above-the-ground swimming pool.
Oh, that's
you'll
be seen
there.
We
my
know. You know we're right.
My brother can be seen at the. He's a coach. He can be seen on the sidelines out there.
Oh.
Where he's I can't remember where he's not coach. He was a head football. He's in the Football Coaches Hall of Fame.
Is that Wheaton Warrenville South?
My brother. He's coaching at college right now, but I have to say I don't know which one because he was with Illinois Benedictine. Now he's with another. He just likes to coach. He'll coach till he just drops dead on the football field.
They do.
He played and coached.
Maybe it's the Wheaton College football team. I don't know.
No, it's not them. It's something else.
Yeah.
I feel foolish.
Well, Nora, you're going to be right next to us tomorrow, so I'll scream into the air, see if you hear me.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Were you going to be at a pool? Where's your pool?
No, I'm in Downers Grove. You're going to Wheaton.
Oh, Downers Grove. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a hop, skip, and a jump from you tomorrow. I'll scream to you. I'll be like, Nora!
Nora!
Nora, are you around?
Please answer.
Is that you, Matthew? Yeah. Yes! Yes, it is! That's how I talk to Les Moonves.
All right. And he answered.
He won't give me his phone number, so I scream to Les into the sky. See if he throws one back.
His people hear you.
Right. I got to go out and look for some butt.
Go enjoy, Nora.
I'm going to go to the alley. I'm going to hang around with some people. Oh, I live by the hospital. All the hospital workers come out. It's a couple blocks away.
In
the healthcare workers come out, and they smoke, and they throw their cigarette butts down. I'm gonna get some over there.
Okay.
Well, go enjoy, Nora. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Needs a drag.
Okay, bye.
Oh, bye.
All right, good night.
Did I get Nora Dunbeck on the smoke?
Oh, man. You might have.
Way to go, Steve.
She was jonesing for a second.
You're welcome.
She didn't want to touch my Les Moonves jokes.
Not at all. Not with you.
Les! Do you hear me?
Matthew.
That's how you get around the restraining order.
This is Leslie Moonves.
She's a cool broad, that Nora.
She wanted to catch us on the sidelines at the game.
Right.
Too bad she doesn't know what game it is.
Right. I like how she couldn't remember a bunch of people that she worked with, like
no.
their last
no,
names
no, no,
and
no,
stuff.
No, no.
I love that.
No.
That's
She's
funny.
Nora Dunn.
It's funny when, but like, yeah.
I love that. And she acted like going out to Wheaton tomorrow. She was like Lenny, like it's.
Yeah, right.
West of 355. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Holiday Road.
Her and Lenny are perfect
yeah,
for each other.
I know.
Right?
Boy.
Yeah, same neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Her and Len.
Well, I have a feeling, let's see, with Nora Dunn money, you probably are in Lincoln Park right outside of there. So it's probably the DePaul Hospital, the Children's Hospital over there.
Children's Memorial.
And Lenny and I left a bunch of smokes on the floor for her over there if she'd like. So, yeah, she's probably smoking one of ours.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was really good.
She was good. That was a good way to end the week.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I'm at the point where it's like that interview had to be good or else you know, I'm just out of it. I'm exhausted. I'm, you know.
Noodle salad.
Yeah. Good times, noodle salad.
Yeah.
So, Steve, what'd you think? You were very quiet.
Yes, I was very quiet.
Is that because you're the head of the Andrew Dice Clay fan club?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm very strategic when I talk. I make it count. I had a few things to say, and I said them.
Is that a PBR joke?
I was going to say, I think I provide a nice contrast to Steve's tactfulness.
Well, you know what,
my tactlessness.
Steve's just all about one thing, and it's the same thing I'm all about.
We all have these terrible stories to get over, and you...
It's not true. Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. Just no one in this car, but a lot of people. That's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Steve knows I say that all the time.
No,
just no one in this gazebo.
No,
good stories, great stories.
I'll tell you about me real quick. You know, you were riffing with her. What was I gonna say? Like yabba dabba, just something real random. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you know,
she doesn't need to hear me say.
I think it made her feel a little good that I said wet dream and Nora Dunn.
Well, yeah, I don't need to affirm.
No, it was good. After, like 10 minutes after, we were like, all right, that was a really funny thing to say. At the time, it was creepy.
Well, at the time, I wasn't thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
But look, that's how I feel.
But that's good.
Good times, noodle salad. Everybody.
Steve just doesn't open his mouth, unless he's got something to say, and he thinks it through so that he could say it.
Well, you know what? Sometimes, Steve, though, he's just so busy laughing.
That's true.
That's what it is, too.
A lot of times I'm just thinking.
Sorry.
You think you're a funny guy over here? Why, I oughta.
It's the only clip I have of Steve laughing.
That is the only clip.
That's the only one you're going to need.
Yeah, no. That's what I ever need.
Yeah, because me and Anderson Cooper are twins. I'm not sure.
I'm glad we cleared that up about the Dice Clay, though, because I had a comedian friend of mine, Patrick Bagman, he's been on the show, and he seemed very pissed at Nora Dunn. And it's like, dude, she's not a prude.
That doesn't shock me, though.
Andrew Dice Clay was just kind of a scumbag.
Right. He
was an egomaniac that got a little out of control.
She was on Saturday Night Live. She has a sense of humor, I think.
No, but Pat Bagman defending Andrew Dice Clay doesn't surprise me.
You like to hear what the 9 dumb reasons people call 911 about?
Bagman is funnier than Andrew Dice Clay.
Ass style. That's my number one answer.
Number one, drinking and dialing.
Oh, well, that's close.
Oh, wow.
What about butt dialing?
Why can't people just drunk dial their ex like I do?
Well, one Florida man tried to drunk dial his local sheriff's department and asking for a ride to his friendly neighborhood liquor store.
Oh, that's good.
And they called back 2 more times when they hung up on him.
Oh, boy.
Then they warned him and threatened to arrest him. if you're calling 911, this is number 2, to complain about the manicure you received, and that's the least intelligent thing you've done to get yourself arrested, you are better off either pleading insanity or blaming the whole incident on a demon that lives in your head. A Florida woman called 911 to report a nail salon for cutting her nails too short. She called three more times and offered several excuses for calling the dispatcher back, from being unhappy with the way the deputy handled the situation to accidentally hitting redial on her cell phone because her nails were too long and she had to dial with her knuckles.
I would be more worried if that was the most interesting thing you did to get arrested.
I'm surprised her knuckles don't bleed. Let me tell you.
It's no surprise that dispatchers have invested a great deal of time in learning how to speak drunklish, but some calls are beyond describing in words. The Florida man, again in Florida.
America's
way. This kind of proves my theory about Florida.
Yeah.
I bet this went on in Dade County.
We brought up Dade County yesterday, too. Called 911 to report his own mother to the police for taking away his beer and insisting that they arrest her.
Mom!
Lee?
Oh,
is this
really?
Why you stopped drinking?
Oh,
did mom
boy.
Take the PBR away?
The dispatcher told her they wouldn't book mommy, so he insisted that he would keep calling until they locked her up and threw away the key. When police arrived to arrest him for making false calls to an emergency number, deputies described him as very intoxicated.
Well, it wasn't a false call. He really wanted his beer back.
Well, a woman in Laguna Niguel, California, made a 911 call to her local police department to see if something could be done about the incorrect order she received from her local Burger King.
Oh, I heard this when it came out.
She claimed she kept ordering a Western bacon cheeseburger, but the clerk kept handing her a hamburger with lettuce, tomato, cheese, and onions. And she felt a police officer should get involved in the miscarriage of justice. Officers were not dispatched and no charges were followed. The call was made to a 911 dispatcher but could not determine if the caller was trying to file an actual complaint or was just wasting the dispatcher's time.
It could be both.
It could be both. How about a woman in Upper Saucon, Pennsylvania, called 911 to ask for help in obtaining the remote control to her TV set?
Ooh.
Apparently, she was sitting in a recliner, dropped her remote control, and couldn't reach the thing without getting out of her Lazy Boy.
Oh, it was probably under her giant ass.
A woman in Wisconsin needed a babysitter for her child, so she picked up the phone and called 911. The dispatcher told her they couldn't help her and hung up the phone, but a police officer was sent to her house anyways, for obvious reasons. The woman explained to the officer that she saw the reality show Nanny 911 and thought it was a commercial for a babysitting service, and that 911 was the number to call to arrange for a sitter.
Awful.
Nothing,
I got
Lee?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Wow. That was really bad.
A woman in Oregon got a ticket from a sheriff's deputy that was apparently easy on the eyes and decided to call the sheriff's office to ask if he'd like to go on a date. She didn't know the number, so she called 911 to see if she could leave a message for the handsome young chap.
Oh, emergency in my pants.
Yes. The deputy answered the woman's message, returned to the home she called from, and arrested her for misusing an emergency line. So I guess he's not going out on that date.
Yeah, no. Well, at least he
arrested her.
Yeah, at least he called back.
Well, maybe she's into that kind of thing.
I bet he was gay.
Yeah.
In a good way.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Yes.
Like happy.
Is there a bad way?
No.
An officer in Michigan confiscated some pot. Nora Dunn. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. From some suspects, and instead of placing it in evidence, he took it home and had his wife bake it into some pot brownies.
No.
Apparently, the stash he took was CIA grade because it got him and his wife so high that he called 911 because he thought they were overdosing on the pot. I think we're dying, he told dispatchers. We made brownies, and I think we are dead. I really do. The officer resigned from the police force.
Oh, did he?
Oh, that's great.
Oh, I'm surprised he resigned.
Do you know, does it say whether she just put the pot in the mixture, or did she, do you have to bake
they
it,
didn't
cook
give
it
out,
into the
they,
oil
yeah,
and
they
the
didn't
butter.
Give out the whole recipe, really,
yeah.
No.
Okay, can I ask, how are people so stupid?
Yeah.
Good God.
Don't you people know how to make pot brownies?
No, don't
you bake it into the butter.
How do people not know how to be not idiots?
Well, we got one more.
Oh, my God.
Several communities in New York City proved that lesson during a severe snowstorm last January. A blizzard blanketed the town under 4 inches of snow and created an untold number of real emergencies. but law enforcement paramedics were overwhelmed with non-emergency calls made to 911 dispatchers. One person complaining of breathing problems really just needed a ride to his methadone clinic. Some parents in Brooklyn called paramedics for a sick child when in actuality, the parents were trying to get their kid to do his homework and hoped the paramedics would convince him to buckle down and study.
Oh.
A Staten Island resident got tired of waiting for his bus in the cold and wanted an ambulance so he can sit inside of it and warm up until his ride arrived. This is what people are calling 911 for during snowstorms of epic proportions in New York.
Right.
These people are morons. I mean, they're absolute. I'd have to try and be this stupid. Good God. Oh, my brain hurts.
Witty remark.
Christ.
Oh, boy.
I feel like Nick Nolte's hair in his DUI right now. although I wish I had some hair.
God.
You'd kill to have hair. Like,
Steve. Oh, fuck. You'll never have my hair, yeah. Steve. Fuck.
Steve, why are you trying to have my hair?
I wish.
All right. I got another story for you. Priest appears.
Oh, God.
What was that?
That was from Gremlins.
Was that your Lee impression?
No.
What impression was that then? Alex, just terrible. Oh, priest
Next
appears
question.
Drunk at baptism.
What a shock.
Is this the winner?
Woo! Chicken dinner.
Oh, okay.
Good for you.
Calm down.
Calm down,
Carrie.
I like this story.
Let's hear the whole news clip, but we'll set it up because I'm sure there's a commercial. You know how they work.
I do.
But this is a priest who allegedly showed up drunk to a baptism on Saturday at All Hallows Catholic Church in Sacramento, California.
Good.
So are you ready?
At 10.
A botched baptism. The priest accused of showing up for the sacrament drunk, slurring, stumbling, even falling to the floor.
Awesome.
It's kind of hard to believe.
Okay.
Really, actually very hard to believe.
The Sacramento Catholic Diocese now suspending the priest after the incident.
Nene Aranpour is in Sacramento's Tahoe Park neighborhood with more on this priest accused of being drunk during a baptism.
It was supposed to be a special celebration at this very sacred place, but many families witnessed what some are calling a sin.
Oh.
A popular place of worship now plagued by a priest whose partying may have gotten out of hand.
It's not a good idea to come to church if you're drunk. It's not the right thing to do.
The Catholic Diocese of Sacramento confirms what many families witnessed.
He clearly looked like he was under the influence. It was a special day, and it's not how they wanted to spend part of their special day.
A 64-year-old priest with the diocese since the 70s, now suspended. Witnesses say he showed up drunk, unable to perform the 15 scheduled baptisms. He arrived an hour late, 11 a.m., Saturday, slurring, stumbling, even falling.
It's like going to a job. If you're going to be late and drunk, now you're not going to be accepted.
Clearly unable to perform his priest duties, a church staff member called for backup. About 150 people still celebrated their baby's baptisms, just not in the holiest of ways.
Wow. We don't know what was going on with him. I mean, I can't judge anyone for anything they do. I mean, he's a human. Yes, he's a preacher, but he is a human nonetheless.
Mariana remembers seeing a commotion outside.
I was just walking by, and all I seen was a group of people outside, and it seemed like a small group of them were just arguing.
Other neighbors say alcohol is not out of the ordinary at the church's festivals.
Yeah, they do drink there, but I've never seen anything get out of hand.
At a Catholic church, you have water and wine are part of the Mass, and there's certainly no theological restrictions on alcohol, but there's common sense restrictions on, you know, you shouldn't drink too much.
The church apologizes to all the families involved in this, and they do tell us this particular priest used to work in Marysville, Colusa County, and Chico. They don't believe he's had any past problems with alcohol.
The diocese will now investigate this incident further. If they learn that the priest has an alcohol program, they pledge to help. Problem, I should say. They pledge to help him with treatment.
Being drunk at a baptism. Drunk at a baptism, the worst thing a priest has ever done. Meanwhile,
well,
a kid across town's been getting diddled in the face. That's not on the
let
news.
Not to get all. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, what are your thoughts on this?
Thank God
he was drunk.
I think those priests make out like bandits. Like, you know, like everything's provided for you. He's a priest.
Look,
you know.
I don't mean to go all, you know, on you here.
Very special.
But look, coming from a guy who used to be quite the alcoholic.
Yeah.
If you're showing up to a baptism falling over drunk, probably a problem.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, though?
Outside of that day.
You'd have to be drunk to spout off that shit, though. I mean, that's how seriously Catholics take some of that stuff. You don't believe it that much. And let me say this. A sin, someone in the interview called it a sin. There's drinking in the Bible. Jesus didn't turn the water into Dr. Pepper.
Thank you very much, Lee.
I was going to say... I think, you know what, listen, priests don't have anything to do. They sit around all day and they wait to go to church.
Let them drink.
That's
a story.
Let me tell you something. It's the pot calling the kettle black. If I have anything bad to say about this priest, although I've never shown up to work drunk, I have shown up in public drunk. And you know what, I don't know. I don't go to church, so I don't really know what to tell you other than, listen, people, worst thing happened.
Pat Tobias sent me a list. You want to go through a list?
Yes.
Okay.
Top 10 highest paid spec script writers ever?
Yes.
Okay. Hollywood is full of wannabe script writers who dream of selling their stories for mega bucks. Only the select few can command multi-million dollar fees for their screenplays. If you are one of the scores of people who long to be a big player in the movie business, you'll probably find it pretty useful to know just what the most expensive spec scripts, which is a script sold on the open market, not written at the behest of a studio, are ever written are. Okay, you ready? Number 10. Sold for $2.5 million, A Knight's Tale. This list is going to probably blow your mind. And I should give out the budget and the box office to these as well, just so you know that this is not a very good science. Spec script selling.
Yeah.
Budget, $56.5 million, and that's probably being generous with marketing and such. U.S. box office, $65 million. Not so good.
No.
Not so good. No. Usually, if a movie is to make its money back, it has to make double what the reported budget is.
Right.
That is usually the fair rule of that. So if it did not make double of what the budget was, it didn't make any money. Mozart and the Whale, 2006, written by Ron Bass, $2.75 million, a $12 million budget, $36,000 at the U.S. box office.
Oh, that hurt. That's a bill. That's a bill right there. Wow.
That movie starred Josh Hartnett, who we are big fans of over here.
Yes.
So that's good.
Love Josh Hartnett.
He may be doing the show sooner or later.
Love
so
him.
We're fans. The Pink Panther. God. Screenwriter, Steve Martin.
That was a spec?
Yes. Fee, $3 million. Martin was paid $25 million to star and $3 million to rewrite it as well. So
$28
million. 31. 31. Three for the original, three to rewrite,
what?
25 to star.
Wow.
$31 million, Steve Martin, for the Pink Panther. Cost $80 million. Made 82 in the U.S. Made more overseas. That's why there was a sequel. But there's that. 80, 82. Not so hot there either. Eurotrip. Written by Alec Berg, David Mandel, and Jeff Schaefer. $4 million they were
given. It took three people to write that.
And they were paid $4 million for the script. Budget, $25 million. U.S. box office, $18 million.
Ooh. Seinfeld guys right there, too, by the way.
You haven't seen a winner here yet, have you? Yes, no. They are Seinfeld guys. So
So the point of this is don't try and write specs? Is that what the...
Well, the point of it is if you're a studio, don't overpay for specs.
Oh, well.
Medicine Man, Sean Connery and Lorraine Bracco.
Oh.
Tom Schulman, $3 million he was paid. Production budget, $45.5 million. U.S. box office, $40
million. Oh, well.
And this comes from the guy that wrote Dead Poets Society and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
So what a spec script doesn't necessarily mean is a newbie writer. It just means it's someone that wrote a script on their own and sold it to the studios.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these are big names, like Alec Berg.
Right. Schaefer.
Basic Instinct, Joe Esterhaz.
Right. Yeah.
Huge name.
Yes.
Joe Esterhaz.
Huge name. Yeah. We've given $3 million for Basic Instinct. Budget was $49 million. U.S. box office was $118 million. That made a little bank. A
little bit.
He had the original record, $1.25 million for Big Shots, and then Shane Black sold Lethal Weapon for, sold Last Boy Scout for $1.75. So Joe's been in this category a few times.
Yeah.
Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby, written by Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, $4 million they were given for the script, cost $72.5 million, made $148 million. Probably Will Ferrell's last big hit. I may be wrong.
Well, yeah.
Like, large hit.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Because I don't think Step Brothers crossed 100 mil.
Step Brothers didn't. Semi-Pro tanked. Land of the Lost. No.
Okay. How about The Panic Room? David Fincher directed. Jodie Foster. David Kopp? Coop? I've always been weird about pronouncing his name.
K-O-P-P?
K-O-E-P-P. Yeah, he wrote Spider-Man and I think one of the Jurassic Parks. And okay, well, he got $4 million, $2 million guarantee, $1 million production bonus, and $1 million for serving as a producer. One day we'll find out what producers do. Tim Gibbons was very vague.
Yes.
The production budget was $48 million. The U.S. box office was $96 million. Hmm. So that actually doubled precisely.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, there's an episode of Ren and Stimpy. I was watching this recently.
Yeah.
Where Stimpy's making a cartoon and he lets Ren be the producer. And he says, "What's a producer do?" And Stimpy says, "A producer is someone who tells the artist what to do, and then when it's finished, he takes all the credit."
Wow.
That's in a cartoon.
That wasn't a shot, was it?
No. That's in a cartoon on Nickelodeon.
I know. I'm saying the writer of that episode, not a shot.
Who's that? You're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who's calling?
Hello?
Yes. Hello, Sarah.
Who's this?
Hi.
Going through a list. I got two other movies here, so hold on. Number two. What?
No. Keep going. I'm interested.
Number two, The Long Kiss Goodnight, written by Shane Black, starring Craig Bierko, Sam Jackson, and they're making a sequel of it now.
Really?
With Sam Jackson coming back.
Is Gina Davis going to be in it?
Gina Davis's daughter.
Ah.
Is the storyline I'm hearing.
Interesting.
$4 million for Shane Black. $65 million it cost to make. It made $33 million at the box office.
Wow.
And then number one, Deja Vu, starring Denzel Washington, Terry Rossio, and Bill Marcilli. $5 million, $2 million guaranteed, and a $5 million production bonus. So that's actually $7 million. It cost $75 million. It made $64 million.
Ouch. Wow.
So that just proves spec scripts, not always a sure thing. Sarah, can we help you?
How on earth does it cost $75 million? I mean, don't you figure you can make some budget cuts in that? No?
Steve?
I don't know. I'm not a producer, clearly.
No one is.
I'm just humbly walking the dogs until they number two, but, you know,
We explain why it cost $75 million to make a movie, I guess. Deja Vu. Where's $75 million going? You got 20 for Denzel or 25.
Denzel's in the movie.
5 or 8 for the script from what we're reading.
Right.
So there's $30 million right off the bat.
That movie's got explosions in it.
$45 million worth of actors and explosions. Rosario Dawson, Val Kilmer's in it.
Right. You've got hundreds of crew members as well.
Producers that get overpaid to all stand around and go, yeah, do this, do that.
That too. Craft services, permits, location.
The director was Tony Scott, I believe.
Yeah. He's going to take a lot of money, too.
Yeah, Tony Scott's $5 million alone.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is these movies cost more to make than they grossed, correct?
Most of these movies cost more in the... With big-budget movies... Most of the money is going to the people you see on the screens, not all the time the effects. Like Deja Vu, $30 million, because computers now, you can make effects a lot easier. And in Transformers, more money goes to the robots, of course, and the visuals. But In most cases, yeah. In the Deja Vu, Denzel got the bulk of that money.
Right.
Sarah,
you get like a mediocre script, and you're like, okay, we're just gonna hope that paying out Denzel $20 million will yield back actually $30 million.
That is how most. That is how most studio heads. Yeah.
I believe it's bankable.
That's why the median in film has been cheapened so much.
Yes, it's not like that anymore. It used to be like that in the 90s. There really are no more stars.
No.
As Tom Hanks proved this summer when Larry Crown, I don't even know, has made $30 million bucks.
Yeah. Well, you know, they said, yes, star power is not enough to open a movie anymore. It just isn't.
No, because I don't think there is star power anymore. Because I think most of the people going to the movies now are looking for the movies to be cool.
Well,
there's so many darn movies to go see nowadays. Like, I read a good quote about somebody who made, I don't remember names, you know, I don't know these type things, but did 3D movies. And, you know, every movie's in 3D now, and it just cheapens the medium on that, and that there's so many films to see because everybody's making movies, and everybody, you know, we're in the generation where everybody wants to be an actress. Nobody just dreams about it. They're like, you know, I'm going to go to Hollywood and do it, and somebody will hire me, and hopefully, you know.
Kind of right. We were talking about this week.
Yeah.
In the 90s, you were lucky if two movies came out on Friday.
Yeah.
Now five come out.
Yeah.
In the 70s, one movie came out. I'll give you a great story. Volunteers, written by Ken Levine, okay, got pushed back because of one movie being in the movie theater so long. I don't remember what the movie was. It was a hit. But it pushed back Volunteers from June to August because they didn't have room for Volunteers. They're like, we don't have room for it. We have to push back your release date.
Theaters had one screen.
They had a few, but like companies would only put out one movie at a time.
Right.
And TriStar already had a hit movie out, so why are they going to put another one out?
Right.
Now TriStar, well, it's not around anymore, but Columbia will put out five movies at a time.
Right.
Well, we need one for this demographic, and that demographic.
Well, it's you know, trying to get every market and all that. It's like porn, you know.
The movie market is very diluted now.
Yeah, very.
And I don't think kids care about acting.
No, they don't.
To be honest.
No, everything now.
I think the art of acting is being lost on the new generation.
Everything now is basically about trying to capitalize on an already existing franchise. That's where they're counting on the money coming
from.
Where
the money is.
Yeah. Is a comic book or a something, you know.
Well, who told
video
me?
Game.
Who told
well, and me? And I think you see,
or
see examples of that. You see examples of that, too, when you go see a movie, what was it, Spanglish or Funny People, where you have somebody who's funny, like Adam Sandler, and that's what he's pretty much known for, and he's not quite known exactly by the main public for, you know, his dramatic acting. And you go and see it, and you're like Miles, which I'm not claiming that I'm a movie genius here, but you go and see it, and you're like, that wasn't funny, and then you say it sucked.
Yeah, well, that's...
You know, because you go to something like that, and or, you know, those millions of dollars that you make over The Hangover 2, which was exactly like The Hangover 1 and, you know, rewritten jokes and whatnot, not bashing that. But, you know, you go and you see that stuff and you're like, oh, I wanted to see, you know, classic Adam Sandler and I can watch that 7 million times. Or Will Ferrell, I can watch him do the same shtick 80 million times. And you go and see them in something dramatic. And, you know, most people are just like, that sucks.
Oh.
You know what, I'm gonna talk about what I originally called on because I was just going to try and be intelligent.
No,
I bring your show into the shower with me today, right? Because I showered. So I bring your show to the shower. And because I was really interested in your little shindig today. And I like your show so much that I left the dogs out while I had to take a speaker, put it into the shower with me, and it was Miles' birthday present that he got. The dog ate the cord, electrocuted himself, and now the speaker's broken.
The dog?
So I like,
what happened
I
to
like
my dog?
We were playing silly music.
Yeah, what happened
you
to my
said
dog?
That the dog electrocuted itself.
Well?
What about my dog?
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's okay, but he's an idiot. He learned.
So you're saying don't chew on wires while in the shower.
Now for the, yep, there it is, hot dog.
Don't chew on electrical wires in the shower.
Well, you know, there and other, a few other places, tubs, pools, sinks, you know, water basins.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. Sarah, how often are you walking down the street and people see you with those dogs and you just hear...
Why do I hear... I hear... Aw.
I'm just kidding. I love those dogs. I love them.
Did you just insult my dogs? Because that's like insulting children.
I like the dogs. I wrote your dogs a nice message on Facebook today.
I didn't get it.
You did. It's on one of your pictures of the two dogs together. I did recommend should maybe get a rescue a dog from Sammy Simon's foundation.
Oh, I did get that. Usually when you comment, I just kind of ignore it because it's some rambling, weird thing.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Simon will be happy to hear that. Alex Luisi wants to know when you're getting married.
Yeah, when's the wedding?
I'm not getting married anytime soon. Are you kidding me?
No.
What is the big joke in mom's basement today? What is the big man joke in the man cave in mom's basement?
What? We're talking about, I'm saying Alex has no shot with you. And Anderson Cooper even thought it was funny.
Anderson Cooper? Oh, I love his giggle.
Oh, you love his giggle? Oh, yeah. Well, he thought it was really funny.
I love his giggle. Miles refuses to think that that's actually his real laugh.
It is.
That is his laugh.
Oh, it is.
I told him that it was. I don't know if he thinks he has a stand-in laugh.
Well, I'm going to have to fill in Miles when I see him next week on Anderson Cooper's private life, and then maybe he'll believe it's his laugh.
Yeah, maybe.
I love Anderson. Don't get me wrong.
You love Anderson?
I have to plug next week's shows, even though Pat didn't give me Thursday's show yet. What's Thursday, Pat?
All right. Hey, you guys have fun tonight. I had a night off, and I wanted to listen, and I wanted to contribe. And
well, you got your Nora Tuck.
You pissed in my Wheaties. So now I'm going to go downstairs and drink.
No one pissed in your Wheaties. You got to enjoy Nora Dunn.
Oh, you were good.
Pissed in my Wheaties.
You didn't like Nora Dunn,
next
Sarah?
Next question.
I'm going to crap in your Quaker.
Well, why didn't you like Nora Dunn?
No, I did. I liked her. I normally don't understand anything you're talking about on your show, but I liked her.
Okay, I got to promote shows. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye, Sarah.
I got shows to promote. So hopefully Pat gives me Thursday's show because I can only promote three. All right, well, Monday we have Josh Myers from Mad TV,
okay.
Brother of Seth Myers.
Okay.
Oh,
Tuesday, return guest, Jimmy McCarron.
Jim McCarron.
I'm very excited.
Oh, yeah.
He did kind of twist my arm, force me, rebook me now, man.
Did he strong-arm you?
No.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday, a very special Matthew Aaron show.
Play the music.
Mike Royce returns.
Oh, returning guest this week.
And Mike Royce, I may have a few surprises for you.
Oh, well, I won't be here. I won't be able to tell Mike Royce that I, in between the first interview and this interview.
Well, let's see if Pat's going to be here.
I familiarized myself with Men of a Certain Age, and I really like it.
Well, we'll see if Pat's going to be here. I'm going to ask Pat. And Tobias... Brett Davern from MTV's Awkward is on Thursday.
Woo!
Okay.
Awkward.
So catch up on your Awkward if you haven't.
I'll have to DVD.
Four shows? Another four-show week, huh?
Another four-show week because Pat Tobias just can't learn how to say no.
Yeah.
Kind of like his sex life.
Yeah.
Wow.
No.
Wait, does that mean he's getting it all the time?
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds great.
I get these stories from Pat about how he's banging chicks because he's a booker. He's like, yeah, man.
What was that last thing? What was that?
It's Super Mario. All right, we got to go.
Oh, boy. No, you know what? You should have just did the ha-has for the rest of the 90 seconds.
We got to go.
Oh, fuck. That was
ladies'
great.
Day today.
Thank you.
Thank you.